So good morning, dear friends. So we will begin with the same practice as yesterday. So to prepare for that, you now please focus on an experience or a word with which you recall an experience of, let's say, friendliness or respect or care or any other experience which is connected to other people, the well-being, the benevolence of other people. And so we will begin with the three sounds of the bell, and that is an opportunity for you to bring body and mind together and establish yourselves here. And then I'll give you some more guidance. When you have established your body-mind in the here and the now, you bring your awareness to your breath, the flow of breath, breathing in, taking in, and breathing out, letting go. And now bring your awareness to your lower chest and upper abdomen area. And you breathe in into your heart. And you breathe out through your solar plexus. And now you combine that with the experience or attitude or the word you have chosen. Breathing that into your heart and breathing out through your solar plexus, giving this energy back into the world. And you might, through this practice, now experience that your whole being has been calmed, has been lightened up, and your energy is harmonized and open. So we stay in that experience for a while. And we finish off with one sound of the bell. So I told you that I have given this practice time together, the topic of be in the world but not of the world. And I have mentioned that I use a different phrasing for that, phrasing which is closer to our practice. All spiritual work is aimed at developing our highest human potential to live in a complex and often violent world with a mind that can be trusted to be clear and wise, and a heart that is undefended and open to all beings. And I make us again and again aware, yes, we live in that world. That is a beginning, that is a starting point. We live in a world which is often complex and violent, or however we experience it. And that is in some areas and it sometimes more so, and in other areas and other times not that strong. But that is the general experience for all of us. And that experience is for all human beings like that. It has ever since been. And it is true for any culture at any time. Don't ever think we have had a golden time, a golden age, where we as human beings live together and in harmony like angels or something like that. It has never been like that. So we need to be very clear and very open to that kind of an experience. That we live in an environment, and with this I mean with other people, within a society. I'm not talking about difficult times because of catastrophes of nature. That's a different story of tsunamis and earthquakes and something like that. We are here, I am concerned about us living together with other human beings. Us living in this society. That is what for me is this world we experience and where we make our experiences. Could you please draw that? Yes. Thank you. That's helpful. So if we stay with that situation, we are exposed to irritation, misunderstandings, aggression, violence, being excluded, and so on and so on. More or less, we all have experienced this from other people. And this is really my emphasis, we have done the same. We have been irritated or irritating. We have used harsh words. We had been aggressive in a certain nice manner to other people. We even had a mind which hates. So whatever other people have done to us, to a certain degree, we have done to other people. You might say, yes, but with different tools, with different means. Yes, I agree with that, but with the same mind. I'm here concerned about the mind, not the tools. We here as human beings have the same mind all together, which is difficult for some of us to accept. And that is why I'm constantly indicating, shining the light to that situation. Because we do think, for whatever reason, that we are better. Or at least we do think, okay, I have the same mind, but I behave differently, which I agree. But we have the same mind. And we need to be very careful with that mind in a specific other situation. We turn towards the same tools. That's a difficulty. You see, we do need, as human beings, a certain degree of energy, a mental energy. And then we can behave as proper, aware, open human beings. And you all have had the situation when this energy is lowered, when, as we say, stress comes in, you cannot access this high energy, this high mind. You come down, and those high expectations you can't meet anymore. It's a proven fact within all stress researchers and neurophysiological researchers that we kind of, like an escalator, move down the more stress we have. So we slowly, slowly have only access to urgency programs, which we use always, you know. They come easy. So when we are stressed, they are there. The others are not available anymore. And the more we use, we come down, the more simple and more what is called atavistic these urgency programs are, you know. And if we really down, we do things which we normally would not do. We even might be willing, and God saves you that you're not doing it. We are willing to kill because it's the last urgency program we have to defend ourselves. That is why we need to be aware of our mind. Because we cannot guarantee that we always have this high level. You might be in a good energy position, and you might have this beautiful ethical mind. And then sometimes over the day, these stress situations come in. And slowly, slowly, slowly you run down. And then finally, you start yelling and shouting and weeping, I don't know what, which you normally would not do. But you only do that because that is still on your mind. So be careful, and I'm not saying that to you, I'm saying it to me too, you know. We are talking here about the mind. So the means is not that important for us now. They are important, I'm not saying that, you know. But I hope I make myself understood that when the mind is not changed, we could still use means which we normally would not use. That is understood. Yeah? So people tend to say, yes, but I will never do that. What they do, this is out. This is should be. And then something comes. They should be killed because they do that such things. Careful. What I try to say is, what is important is the human mind. And what I try to say is, all human beings, irrespective of their culture, of their time, of whatsoever, have the same mind, more or less. There are some rare individuals around who, even in high stress situations, stay upright. It's kind of having a different personality, you know, the normal one and the high one. And they never forget the high one. But I'm afraid that it's not true for us. So, since beginningless times, there has always been this question: why can people be aggressive? Why is it that there is killing and shouting and I don't know what? And there are a lot of different ideas, assumptions, and philosophies around. The latest Western is that we have an egocentric gene. We are just kind of built up like that. The more ancient one is that there is a devil around. You know, this kind of a force which sits somewhere behind us and pulls us and pushes us to do these bad things. And so on and so on, you know. So let us look into this question and go along with this line of thought I have introduced you in the last days. And I have said the main, or one of the main, experiences of a human being is fear. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Even without fear? Fear. And that is true for all human beings. Throughout the ages, throughout cultures. So we have something, again, which is common to all of us. So what do we do when we are afraid? I mentioned that yesterday briefly. I'm just continuing. What do we do when we are afraid? We have two options. One is to run away, to hide, to withdraw, to get out of that danger, if that is possible. And you have all heard that the last resort is to freeze. Kind of a last biological urgency program. You turn your feet up and say, okay, hoping that nobody is doing now something to you. Which is, maybe a dog knows what you're talking about, but there are people who don't know. So they get you. It's not the wisest way. But there are many people who somehow try to escape. And the other one is to attack. Someone is after me, so I turn around and say, come on, let's fight. and see who wins. And that is not only doing a lion or a snake. A snake is kind of hissing. He moves up and says, wait, if you come closer to me, I give you a bite. So it's common to this biological sphere we are living in. So now let me just bring that together in one sentence. Whatever I've just now mentioned, irritating, aggressing, violence, is because we defend ourselves. Most of it. The main point, the main reason, the main drive for all of us, for all human beings, is defense. That is the action which normally, naturally comes when you're afraid. Is it so? Yeah? Do we agree with that? The very moment you have somehow in your mind that there is a situation you're afraid of, something, whatever it is, you turn to defense or flight. But that's all you have. That's all the human beings have, either this or that. And most of our Western societies use defense, attack, war. Now, the word defense is so wonderful. Though I use it now in a bit, not quite its etymological way. But for me, as a non-English speaker, defense, there sounds something like fence. It's not quite true etymologically, but it is psychological true. So defense means we have put around a certain area in us or wherever. Offense. Is that clear? So our basic behavior or way to live in this world is to have an area where we attach to, where we uns mit verbinden, kind of connect with, which is a kind of an extension of our I. So I is just okay, this is me, you know. But then we extend and say, this is now me too. For example, we have an image of us, a certain way we would like to be seen or to be treated, and so on and so on. It's a certain mental structure which I then say, this is me. And we put around this image a fence. So, because that is me. You see, this body has a skin, and that image has a skin. It has a fence, it has a border, so to say. And so if someone, for some reason, is intruding in that, he or she is stepping over. You all hear these words, you know. He stepped over my borders or whatsoever, you know. We defend. Very simple, is it so? It's natural, you know. Someone, for some reason, is not treating you as you do know you have to be treated. So this person is stepping over your fence. So you have to defend that. And you can experience as in every normal party in this world, you know, someone says something which you have the clear image that this person should not say that to you. He is stepping into your area of sensitivity, or whatever we call that, and you defend, you know? Whatever means are now available, you would not go to a normal party with your machine gun. But we have different tools. We can be nasty. We can be kind of verbally do something that everybody laughs, you know? We can make someone a kind of laughing stock. I was great in that in former times when I was a young man. You know, I was feared of having this kind of an irony around me, you know, because I constantly felt stepped over my borders. Can you imagine that? Do I make myself clear what's happening? Yes. That is a human mind. That is what others do to you, and that is what you do to others. It sounds sometimes a little bit difficult. You don't run around with a machine gun. But in Germany, you have the saying, a look, a gaze can kill. You know that? Oh, okay. So I just said it's a mind and not the tool. So we can be lucky that we just only look. But we do the same harm. Or at least we would like to do the same harm. The same kind of insulting, being aggressive, being violent. And so that is true for all human beings, including ourselves.
So there is a big problem right now, not far from here. So how do you defend yourself if you defend yourself? I'm not talking about the refugees, but on the fence, going into Europe, and the mind has to change.
Let me just finish a little bit and then we come to that. No, it's clear. It's clear. I'm just now moving into a certain area. And then we'll see whether that is helpful. So the line of logic or thought is easy. It's clear. There's fear. There's a defense, there's an area we have to defend. So it comes down to the realization and the acceptance that we all live in certain mental areas. We all live in certain structures. We have put fences around. And these structures are called religion, society, culture, and so on and so on. These are the structures where we attach to, and we say, this is mine. And it is true even today. It is my people, my society, my religion, and not your religion, and not your people. People even connect to a football club. Yes, it's amazing, huh? It's my football club. And then they go into the stadium, and when their football club is not winning, they have killed each other. Can you imagine? So we human beings now in this period of human evolution are ready to do something which is violent, aggressive, and so on and so on, because we attach to a certain me. And this is natural. This body has to be defended. That's what I said in the beginning. It's a natural law. And it takes quite practice not to do that. So we extend that. And so people have sacrificed themselves easily and happily for their nation. Have gone into war with hallelujah and I don't know what for their nation. Now what? Don't think we are different. We are still in what evolutionary thoughts are say we are ethnocentric. We are deeply ethnocentric. And because of that, we are ready to kill. We are ready to be violent. Because what's happening is any area we say mine is an area we have to defend by nature, and we do. Is that okay? So what to do? This first line of thoughts I have now kind of built up over the last days, and I've kind of shocked you now today, so to say. Thay always called it, call me by my true name. And another way to say is, meditation is to be honest. It's so easy to blame other people. But it is somehow very, very difficult to admit I'm just the same. But I'm the same. I have the same mind. Because you do that, I'm doing it. Because you tread over my fence, I have to do something with you. Is it so? That is our situation. And you have that now all over the place. It's not only in your area. You know. This world is still full. Is governed by groups, by areas, by fences, in an amazing, amazing way, you know. Even in the West, women are put down. That is group. We men, you see. Once someone said to me, and he is a kind of cultured, educated man. He said, you know, as a proper man, you have to do three things. I put it now from the back. Plant a tree, build a house, and have a son. not a daughter, a son. And he said to me, well, you know, unfortunately, with a son, it didn't work. I have two daughters. Now, what is that? Areas, fences. That's all. Deep down into our society, next to the neighbor, officially, we don't have slaves anymore. Officially. But the number of slaves under different labels, as in wars, in military camps, in factories, are today higher than it has ever been. And people, because of their skin, are put out. You have heard about these violence in the States against colored people. They are just kind of shot on the street. That's what I'm talking about. You are black, and it's considered of even not a crime to kill you. That's why you almost don't get any one of them in the court. White is okay, black not. And we have that kind of a mind all over, in all societies, in all countries. And I yesterday mentioned the Dalai Lama, who is very clear now, one of the main reasons to bring aggression and violence and wars in the world are religions. And he is a religious man. And it's not saying anything against religion or whatsoever. It is just saying, please, we have to be aware that our general mind is stuck in structures. And that is in your society and it is in our society. You know, because of these flood of refugees, you have heard about of Syria and all these countries, refugees are brought in into our society. They are not Germans. They are I don't know what. You know, Syrians and whatever these nations down there, you know. And they even might be not Christians. Could be, most probably not. And they come here to get our food. They get the jobs, which we dearly need. And so the government is ready to give them money. How about us? So what's happening is fear, refusal, and people are attacked openly by groups who are very right-winged, conservative. And I'm quite sure you have this kind of exclusion of this and that ethnic groups in your society too. This is a human mind now. And so when we tomorrow look into why we are here, we know why we are here. To open these areas in ourselves, first of all. As long as we still think in kind of groups and areas, and this is mine, we create that society, we create the violence and the wars. It's very simple. So the first step in that direction is to bring our practice in and to slowly, slowly loosen the tenseness in our mind, loosen our kind of gripped to something, to bring our energy up so that we can be aware and clear. So that we are able and willing to look and see, yes, that's my mind. I'm not out somewhere there. But if my partner comes in and does not what I like to do him or her, I'm after him or her. Is it so? Not really, you know. I'm just getting a little bit now loud or a bit nasty or whatsoever. It's not that important, but it is a mind. It is a mind which easily gets into defense, attack. And we all know what I'm talking about. So at times, it is demanding for ourselves to say, yes, I have the same mind. Throughout this day or that day or against this person or that person, I have the same mind. But our practice is meant to not judge ourselves. You have heard the definition of mindfulness through many, many years. Mindfulness, being aware, to be conscious, means to see something as it is without judgment, without judging. Have you heard about that? Mm-hmm. So that's a practice. I constantly make us aware, don't just do the practice, something, you know, but now it comes to the proof. Are you practicing? Can we confront ourselves without blaming us? Can we confront someone else without blaming them? Can we just stick to what I try to say and say, yes, it's like that. Full stop. Nothing more. If we can do that, we are practicing. The practice of awareness, mindfulness, is to come into something you might have heard the name. It's called choiceless awareness. Have you heard about these things? Choiceless awareness?
Yes.
Even Thay has used that, though it's a Vipassana term.
Choiceless?
Choiceless awareness. Not judging. That's all. Not blaming. Clear? I'll just give you another sentence. The key to unlocking this potential, I read this, the highest human potential, which is somewhere down there, you know, it just can't come out. The key to unlocking that potential is being able to seize, let go, don't use, to seize, seize, to grasp, our habit of sorting and judging. Seize. Not seeing. Seize. C-E-A-S-E. Stop. So that is the next. So that is the next line we should have in mind. It is already difficult enough to just say, yes, I'm doing that. I have done that. Just this morning I was shouting at someone, or I don't know what, you know. And when I read through the newspapers, I hear this talk up there, they. And so we only can proceed when we are just honest to ourselves. Otherwise, we are not changing. As long as we say, not me, nothing is going to change in our mind. And I'm constantly saying, the only way to change, the only area to change is us, is our mind. I'm not concerned here, I said since, I think Monday was the first talk, Monday I said the first sentence, we are not here to discuss means. Do you remember that? We are, means is the tools. We are here because we are concerned about our minds. Now it's almost last day, and you accept that? It's only about our minds. You will not change the world from here to tomorrow. That's clear. But if not anyone of this human race is changing that mind, nothing will going to happen. That's the situation, you know. So there's always these this question from politicians and sociologists and all this kind of, what to do now? This is not my business. I must honestly say, it's not my business. I'm not expert in that. You please go out and ask people, and you will find a lot, hopefully, skillful tools. As little violence as possible. But my approach, the approach of the spiritual world, is change your mind, which is not going to change the world tomorrow. This is clear, but please don't blame us. We have a kind of a different view, a longer patience, so to say. Because this society is because we have this mind. Very clear. That's what I said today. Whatever is happening in the world now is because of this mind who sticks to groups and fences and areas, and because of that is defending and is aggressive and so on and so on. So we have two areas, so to say. We have a political, sociological. We need that. It's not the point, you know. But please, we need to change the mind. And someone has to begin. You cannot change the mind of them. You can try to kill them. But that is still not changing our mind. It might even foster the same kind of a mind. The ending of hate is never done by hate, is the beginning of the Buddhist teaching. So what we have to do is what Thay called inclusiveness. And when he is asked, how do we do that? Typical. Politicians and sociology. How do we do that? We constantly say, sit together. Sit together and talk. Find out. I don't know whether that is the most skillful way to do, you know, but please understand, we come from a different angle. And please, this tradition, this world, this approach, so to say, is a spiritual approach which is pointing towards a mind. And if we are not doing that, nothing is going to change. We will kill each other, that's up to the last soldier. I hope you understand that. We always run in the same situation. And Thay is publicly, by his disciples, addressed aggressively. What shall we do? And he says, sit together. Or in other words, he says, I don't know. But you will find out. Provided you change your mind already, you start opening up, you go into communication. It might sometimes here sound a bit far-fetched, you know, when the Twin Towers were destroyed. He gave a talk the next day in a church, and people down were boiling. And he said, well, be careful that you are not having the same mind as those who have just destroyed the Twin Towers. Isn't it so? Everybody kind of shrugged a little bit the shoulders. And then he knows the next answer, what to do? And he said nicely, as he is an Asian Vietnamese, brown-robed man, is, well, you know, I would talk to these people. And then on, only we said, my goodness gracious, don't you have something more realistic thing to have? But it is an approach. Open up, talk to these people, even if you don't like them. At one end, you have to talk. You see, in Afghanistan now, they kind of juggle around, and then they will now start opening up to talk to the Taliban. They've never imagined before, you know, but what to do? Nothing has changed, nothing has moved, you know. So however difficult it is to sit with these folks on the same table, but that is what Thay says. It might take a while, you know. It might take a while that you sit with your neighbor on the table and say, well, what do we do with that fence? You know, I moved it a meter on your ground and you moved it a meter on my ground, so what do we do? Are we fighting for the next five generations? Or do we sit together and say, let's put it somewhere in the middle? I do know it's not easy. No, we are so caught in our ideas of, he did that to me, so I will revenge. How could he or she? I do know. So what we need to do is, wherever we can, in even in our daily life, in our single mind, when we read the newspapers, when we hear the news, be careful not to bring in our fences, our areas, our judgments. Just see, these are human beings. Nothing else. And they are not human beings as such, personal. They are the human mind. Nothing else. Thay had been through this situation as a young monk. And he always said to his friends who were just shot, he couldn't talk to them anymore, right? But to neighbors and others, it's not the person who is our enemy, it's a mind. And this mind can be changed.
Gandhi said, don't kill your enemy, kill his mind.
Yes.
Kill his will to kill.
Yes.
Gandhi said.
So you see, so please forgive me when I, I'm coming. Please forgive me when I'm citing these big people, the new Gandhi or whosoever, you know. It sounds, and yes, yes, it's correct. It's fine, you know. When they say it must be true. So I'm always getting a little bit of a weird feeling when I hear these. Yes, as I've read about this, and I heard this, and you know, and you? How about us? How about us? Can we really be clear and aware that our mind is not so different from them? Your question, loud enough.
You mentioned that I said that man is not our enemy, but our mind. But I think
their minds, their minds, their mind. It's the man is not the enemy, that but their mind.
But I think he changed it already and said the mind is not the enemy, and even hatred is not the enemy.
And then
the way to approach, you know, the hatred or the mind is not as the enemy, but as part of us, or
yeah.
You know, transforming it but not hating it.
Yeah, sure, that's what I'm saying. You see? I'm saying if we accept that is it's a human mind. It's so to say the predicament of the human mind. We step back from all judgments. We are not kind of judging another person to be like that. You know, we just know a human being at this time is like that. So because of that, we now can step back and see what can we do, where to set the level, you know. And so the answer is always, it's us. The very moment I still hate, I'm the same kind of a mind. The moment I'm judgmental, I'm the same kind of mind. As long as I find myself judging and comparing and putting down, I have that kind of a mind. And it does not matter whether I have that to another person or to myself. So people do have the tendency to think when they self-hate, it's better than hating others. This is not true. It's absolutely not true. It's a mind who just switches the object, but the mind is hating.
I've had the experience with the people, even friends, that are hating another group, their bias, they say those are bad, and making that difference. And I try to bring this approach, and it doesn't work, so I back off.
Yes.
I think, I cannot change
sure.
That mind.
Yes.
Is there anything else one can do?
Yes, not change the others. That's what I'm saying constantly. If you run around and want to change others, you're aggressive. It's difficult, I know. You know, I've always been around to help others to have a bit different view. And sometimes I do see myself as a prophet in the wrong place, you know. And so now finally, after all these many years, I start accepting that I have to transform myself first. That's what I'm trying to say, you know. It's hard that we can't change other people. I'm trying that constantly, you know, especially around me. The closer they are, the more I try to change them, and the more aggression comes up from my side and from the others. Who are you? And they're right. Who am I? You know, that he even didn't ask me, you know, in the first place. So I think we can stop that for today. Yosi? I know. Yes. So, but the good news is we can change our mind. Let's happily look into that tomorrow. We can change our mind. And that is good news. And it's not that difficult. We have the practice. We found a good practice. We have the Dharma. We have good teachers. So we are lucky. We are really lucky. I'm every day lucky, the way I found in my life up to here or wherever. And I'm always grateful to have friends around who are on the path with me, that is supportive. Thank you.
Three.